got a Mother's Day present of some description? One or two hands going up. What do we get? Flowers? Chocolates? Nice sort of smelly things to put in the bath? Good stuff. Excellent. And then children. Children, were your mothers grateful for the presents that you gave them? Oh, there's a bit of a silence going on there. And what about cards? Who had a Mother's Day card? Two of them. Well done, Joy. Excellent. There've been a series of letters in the newspaper in the recent weeks about Mother's Day card, and there were two of them that struck me particularly. One was a little boy who gave his mother a shop printed card, and it said, "You've been just like a mother to me." And the one that really, really appealed to me was a beautiful handmade card made by a little six-year-old girl. And it said, "Thank you for being such a lovely mummy. And I know that you'll try even harder next year." Parenting can be a fairly thankless task at times, can't it? And intensely rewarding, but it can be fairly thankless at times. Mark Twain famously said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand having the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learnt in the last 7 years." But what about being a child? Is being a child good fun? Oh, we got some laughter, one or two shaking heads, okay. My daughter amongst them, I'll see you later. I don't know whether any of the following phrases will ring true to you if you're a parent, or perhaps ring true to you as a child. But you could probably imagine it, child talking to adult, "You're so unfair. You're so unreasonable. You never let me..." ... Fill in the blank for yourself. "My friend's parents let them..." ... "When I'm older." That's a favourite one, isn't it? "When I'm older." And the other one, which is, I think, almost the ultimate put down, "When I have children, I'm going to do it differently." Anyway, Mothering Sunday, a time when we remember our mothers, remember grandmothers, remember mothers everywhere, whether their children are with them or not. Of course, it's not really Mother's Day, is it? It's actually Mothering Sunday. This was drummed into me at an early age by my mother, and Mothering Sunday is the day on which traditionally people would be given a day off and they would go home. They would go to their home church, the church where they had worshipped as children, and they would worship there with their families. And that's very much what is happening in our story today. Elkanah takes his wives, their children, up to Shiloh to worship, going back to their roots, as it were, back to their mother church. And it strikes me that Hannah's story is twofold. It's a story of a mother, or of a woman who longs to be a mother, and in the passage that we actually read today, becomes a mother. But it's also a story of a child. Not the child Samuel, although obviously he comes into it, but it's Hannah's story as a child of God. And I think that's particularly powerful. If you read the whole of Samuel chapter 1, you'll find that Hannah has been barren, obviously, all her life, and has been struggling with it for a lot of her life. She has spent years going up to Shiloh, praying more and more fervently for the gift of a child. And as we heard in the reading today, it gets to a point where she's so fervent in her prayers, she's actually praying silently, which is, you know, was quite unusual in those days. And Eli, the priest, thinks that maybe she's drunk. But she's not. And God hears her prayer, answers her prayer, and blesses her with a son. Now, just as we as parents want the best for our children, and it doesn't matter whether your child is a matter of hours old or whether your child is a pensioner, as a parent, you still want the best for your child, and you will do whatever you can to make sure that the child has the best. But it can be a question of being cruel to be kind as well. Just as parents, we want to give our children the best, God wants to give us the best for us. But just as we don't want to spoil our children, God does not want to spoil us. One of the ways that he blesses us, of course, is through answering our prayers. And lovely story in the reading today of him answering Hannah's prayer. But he doesn't always answer our prayer, or he doesn't always answer our prayers immediately, does he? Sometimes he maybe answers them, but not in the way we anticipate, the way that we expect. Now, with the wonders of modern technology, we've got our traffic lights at the back there. I'm going to mess up everything. I'm going to have to ask you, I think, Ian, to do that. Otherwise, I'm going to cause Kev all sorts of problems with that mic. So we have the green light prayers. These are the ones that are answered immediately, instant answers. It's a sense of we're asking the right thing at the right time. And God says, yeah, absolutely. That's what I want to give you now. But then we have the ones which aren't answered immediately, the yellow light prayers. These are the sort of prayers that Hannah has been offering in chapter 1 of the first book of Samuel. She's been praying for a child for years and years and years. And God has been saying to her, yes, but not just yet. Keep praying. Keep working at it. He's saying, yes, but wait a bit. Yes, but in my time, not in your time. It's the right ask, but the wrong time. And during that period of waiting, there's normally something for us to learn. Hannah learned to pray fervently, to be persistent in prayer. But also, maybe we need to learn to accept the circumstance that we are currently in before God will allow us to move on. We need to learn to trust him. It's not necessarily easy or comfortable, but that's what we need to learn. And then there are the big red light prayers. These are the ones where God says, no, this is not the thing that I have in mind for you. It may be very difficult, again, if we've set our hearts on a certain career path or a certain house or a certain whatever it may be. And God says, no, that's not what I want for you. And both the red light and the yellow light prayers can lead us to try and operate in our own strength, can't they? We try to engineer what's going to happen. God said no, but we think, but if I do this, and then if I do that, then maybe maybe he'll change his mind, or maybe I can achieve my goal anyway. But if you cast your mind back to when you were a child, if there was anything that you said to your parents, I would really like this, and your parents said no, and maybe you thought, well, I know better than that. I can do this. And you went ahead and you maneuvered and you eventually you got whatever it was you wanted. How did it work out? Was it really a success? I think frequently things like that, when the parent has said no, but the child goes ahead and does it anyway, it can frequently end in tears, can't it? Or not at any rate the success that you perhaps thought it was going to be. And it's the same with God, isn't it? And the first verse of Psalm 127, I think, sums it up very well for me. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We need to be in God's plan, and we need God in our plan. Otherwise, we're not really going to prosper. So in the times when we have a delayed answer to prayer, or if God turns round and says no to our prayer request, then we need to turn to Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. We need to learn to be happy, to accept God's answer to our prayer, whether it's the answer we want or not, or if the answer is no. The other thing it strikes me is that we ask God for stuff, but are we actually ready to receive? Are we in a position to receive? All too often, we're holding so much that we can't possibly receive. Who'd like a chocolate? Zoe, you'd like a chocolate. Okay. Could you hold that for me, please? Could you hold that for me, please? In your hands, please. Okay, would you like a chocolate? Okay. Zoe's now got something in both hands, and I've got the chocolate. Okay, you can put one of them down, you can have a chocolate. Special treat. Okay, but frequently we do that, don't we? We have so much that we're holding on to, and we're asking God to give us a bit more, to give us the icing on the cake. We're already holding the cake, so let's be grateful for that. We have to let go. We have to give stuff to God so that he can give to us, and we are then in a position to receive. Hannah was grateful in our reading today, and it would have been very easy for her, when she was given a much wanted son, to hold him very, very close, very, very tight. It would have been totally natural. And yet, what did she do? She released him back to God. And that was her act of worship. And God blessed her and Samuel through it. Hopefully, on the tables, you will find a piece of paper that looks something like that. A little thought bubble, or a prayer bubble, if you like. Now, we haven't put out any pens, so if you have a pen and you want to fill it out now, that would be great. Other than that, do take it home with you. and maybe fill it out when you get home. But what I'd like you to do this week is to put in this little bubble three things. Something that you're asking God for. Something that you're thankful to God for. And something that you can give to God in return. And maybe just, I don't know, stick it on your fridge or keep it somewhere where you can have a look at it and just pray through it during the week. We have so much to be grateful for. Let's count our blessings and let's remember to be grateful as well. And just thank you, God, for our mothers and for our Mother Church. Amen.